Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Rider Club Radio. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam, as usual.
As usual.
What? What is so funny about that?
It's like you're going to be a different guy. The idea that, like, not that there's going to be a different guy on the podcast, but that you yourself are going to be a different guy at some point.
Yeah, this week I'm George.
This week, if anybody calls me Liam, I'm going to fucking throw a hissy.
Yep, I do that a lot.
Yeah, it's true. This week on Rider Club Radio, we watched Kamen Rider X8 episode 18.
18? I want to say 18.
I also want to say 18.
Let's say 18.
Fucking numbers.
Do you want to check?
And yeah, I can check real quick if it's necessary.
It's 18.
It is 18.
Yes.
And Q-Ranger episode 2.
And Fi's episode 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Liam, why don't you tell us what happened this week on Kamen Rider X8 episode 18.
Okay. So Emu has the game illness. He freaks out. And he wakes up in the pit. And they're taking care of him in the pit. But he's been acting really weird. He gets up and he's in his Genius Gamer M personality all the time now. He's really laid back. He plays a shitload of video games. He tires out Poppy. He plans so much Dance Dance Revolution.
Huge dickhead.
Yeah, he's a big asshole. Meanwhile, at the abandoned arcade, Dangerous Dan reveals that he only needs... He's trying to gather data from Bugsters. That was his whole thing. But he fucking... Like, he's been really slacking on it, because he's only done 4 so far, and he needs, like, 6 more. So he's working on that. Meanwhile, there's this dancer lady who does... She does this, like, traditional Japanese dance, and she gets infected with the game illness, which just happens to be one of the Bugsters that Dan needs to collect the data on. It's the robots.
Also, she does a lot of robot, like, the robot.
She does the robot a shitload, because she's a dancer and she's got a robot in her, hey! So they go to fight, and Emu fights, and it turns out he's actually way better at being a Kamen Rider. Like, his fight skill is, like, woo! He's way stronger
now.
Yeah,
like, he's using, like, Gekitotsu robots, which is, like, a level 10?
It's,
like...
It's level 3.
I think it's, yeah, level 3, and he's fighting, like, a level fucking...
30.
30. He's fighting a really high level...
It's ridiculous.
...Bugster, and he just outplays him and kicks his ass.
Those power-ups are so ridiculous.
Yeah, why doesn't everyone just use them all the time?
There is at least 27 levels worth of power in all those, and yeah, only Paradox seems to make any use of them.
Like, Emu used to.
He used to. I'm just happy that the show writers haven't completely forgotten them.
Yeah.
They're still around.
I feel really bad for the design department that they had to put that shit in the background of every scene and no one was ever going to use it. Thankfully, it's like a big plot point this episode.
You know what it was? It was the people, the key grips or whoever that they get to throw them all over the scene came into the room and they were like, you have to fucking make use of these. I'm not doing this every episode if you're not going to do anything with it.
The key grips?
Whoever they get to place that shit. Johnny the intern.
I believe they're called
throwing piles of big sewer grates. They get the computer designers in to replace all the things.
They call them computer designer mans out there. Yeah, they're not real. They're little images.
Yeah, but they're real plastic thingies that they put.
Nah.
I think. Some of them. At least some of them are real, because you can see them leaning on shit.
Okay. I'll believe it.
If I'm wrong, fuck you.
That's the Rider Club Radio anthem right there. If I'm wrong, fuck you.
Jeez, there's a plot. Okay, so Emu beats the Bugster. Acts like an asshole the whole way. But he's a much better rider. Hiro, then when they're back at the pit, Hiro says, you're being a dick, Emu. I don't like you anymore. He slips Mighty Action X out of his hands. He says, I don't trust you. I'm taking this. I'll do this. I'll do it alone. And he goes to take care of the patient, because Emu doesn't care. All he cares about is playing fucking Miku Hatsune all day. And for some reason, Poppy gets tired.
We know some people like that.
Yeah. He tires out Poppy playing Miku Hatsune. And Hiro tries to talk to the patient and make her feel better, because she's going to be a dancer, and he's like, it's your dream, you should do it. She starts thinking about being a dancer, and it stresses her out. So the Bugster comes out and it goes to, I believe it's like the dance hall where the performance is, and starts throwing people around and hitting lawn chairs and stuff. And Hiro comes and the show makes a big show like he's about to use Mighty Action X, But then Emu comes and takes it.
Of course, Emu grabs it.
Yeah, no, you don't get that cool shit. Emu takes it, there's a big hullabaloo, Dangerous Dan shows up, there's a big hullabaloo. He's got the Tattle Fantasy Gishat, but Hero, without even transforming, manages to trick it out of him. He tricks the Tattle Fantasy into picking a power-up that actually powers you down and confuses you, which causes Dan to drop the Gishat, and Hero picks it up and he says, "Fuck you, I'm Tattle Fantasy now," and he kicks everybody's asses inside out.
That was good writing. That was good writing on dialogue. That was really good. "Fuck you, I'm Tattle Fantasy now.
Fuck you, I'm the Gishat." And he uses it, he kicks everyone's ass, and Emu goes back to normal.
He's like ridiculously overpowered.
He's level 50 now, he's stronger than Emu.
He's stronger than everyone.
Yeah. He's crazy.
I guess besides Paradox.
He's equal with Paradox.
Yes.
So that was episode 18. Jeff, what did you think of it?
It was alright.
There wasn't anything I hated about it. There wasn't anything I loved about it. Tattle Fantasy is a really cool-ass suit.
I loved seeing Genius Gamer M personality, like, all the time.
I like seeing him play video games, yeah.
I loved seeing... I'm still of the opinion, and I think it would be the coolest shit, that Genius Gamer M is the real Emu, and the Bugster is the really polite one.
I think it is, because before he got infected, he was supposed to be... a big dick, but then in this episode they mentioned that it might be because of the Bugster that he's so good at video games. Because it's obviously going to be, The fucking surgery was like 15 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 16 years ago.
16 years ago. And then suddenly he started acting polite later, after that.
That's a good point.
There was a surgery... Then he was himself. He was dickhole Genius Gamer M. But then, like, 6 years ago before the series, he started acting like his polite self.
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll find out. You know what? It's a big mystery. Find out. I think M is the Bugster. Like, the Genius Gamer M is the Bugster.
I don't want the Genius Gamer M to be the Bugster. I want him to be the real M.
He might be the Bugster. Probably the Bugster.
He probably is. You're probably right.
The fact that his name is M and not Emu makes me really think he's the Bugster. Like, they don't call that guy Emu. They call him the Genius Gamer M. So I feel like he's like a separate entity.
There's like a point made at the end of this episode, though, where fucking Paradox says, "Welcome back, Emu." And not... Like, Emu without the ooh stressed is how they say it. I can't say it because I always stress the ooh in Emu.
Like, Emu.
M.
Yeah.
And so Paradox has literally never called him that.
That's true.
I think he's only ever called him M.
Let's make wild claims. You know that Hero has never shown his left hand on camera so far?
Yeah, know that Taiga has literally never shown his ball sack on camera?
I feel like maybe in like episode 3, we probably forgot about it.
Yeah, his first appearance, he waggles his genitals at the camera for 5 seconds. I forgot, I'm sorry. Don't write in and tell me about it, I remember now.
They know their audience over at Toei.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode. I really liked Genius Gamer M personality being on top, and I'm really disappointed that it ended already. It's probably going to come back.
It was an interesting little arc. I'm sure it'll happen more, because now M knows he's infected, and he's going to be stressed out more. I don't know, maybe it'll be a plot point later.
I hope so, because I think that actor does a really good job playing a little shithead.
Yeah, he gets the whole duality down. He plays both characters really well.
Yeah, he does. Like, Emu is my favorite character in the show.
Yeah, well, not mine, but yeah, he's a good character.
Because of his split personalities.
What I didn't like is, I mentioned it earlier, so Dan has to collect data on all the Bugsters to make Kamen Rider Chronicle, okay.
Yeah.
It's episode 18 and he's got 4. He's been doing this, I remember the first time he absorbed a Bugster into his thingy, it was a long time ago. But he's just doing it now, and I feel like this is going to... What?
You might have noticed that Dan's kind of like a fucking sadistic, insane asshole who just really likes beating the shit out of people for fun.
That's true.
Like, he just keeps getting sidetracked. He's just like a vindictive like, cock.
What I don't like about it, though, is it means Xsaid's gonna do that Xsaid thing where Dan's gonna be in every fight for no good reason.
In this episode, I liked that he was in the fight because I wanted to see how M reacted to him. And we didn't even get much of that, really.
Yeah, he just says, hey, it's Dan, and then he fights.
He's like, oh, no.
Dan. I love Dan. I want to go on the record saying I love him. He's one of my favorite villains in recent Kamen Rider shows.
Old Dan Dastardly.
But does he have to be in every fight?
Yes.
Come on.
You're lucky at this point that Laser doesn't come back from the grave and end up in every fight.
At least Snipe didn't come to every fight. I mean, he came, he showed up, he looked.
He doesn't have any Gashats anymore.
Oh yeah, he lost his Gashats. That's why. I'm sure if he had his Gashats, he'd be jumping in every fight, but now he just waits in the sidelines like, God, I wish I could jump into that fight that has nothing to do with me. Fuck. It's all I want
the Gashats so bad. He's gonna turn into a battleship next episode. That's gonna be cool.
That suit looks nuts.
He's got like a captain's hat on. That's adorable. I love it.
Both Tattle Fantasy and Bang Bang Simulation have really, really good suits. They're Bang Bang Simulation is a little weird, a little bulky.
Got a lot of fucking like dildos hanging off of it.
Well, they're cannons, Jeff. Okay, well, take your Freudian shit elsewhere.
Maybe the kind of dildos you get aren't cannons. Yeah, it looks cool. It's a little strange. Like, he couldn't walk through a door in that shit. That's for sure.
It looks awesome, and I'm assuming I'm gonna laugh real hard when he tries to move or do anything. That's my prediction.
Yeah. They should have gotten Heroes actor to play Naga in Q-Ranger, because he is real good at never showing emotions, ever. Like, when he's talking to the girl in the bed, he's just, like, staring straight ahead with no expression on his face, just saying things.
I hope Hiro gets some sort of development, like, some further development than he already has, because he hasn't gotten any in a while.
I found this scene to be really funny.
The one where he's
trying to... I'm not sure if it was supposed to be.
Where he's trying to cheer up the patient.
Yeah, where he's like, you have no resolve. It was the juxtaposition of that to how Emu usually is with the patients was hilarious.
I think the point was to show you that he has no bedside manner. I think that was intentional.
He has none.
The thing is, this episode seems to treat it like, here's some character development for Hiro, but like there is none.
He doesn't change whatsoever.
Nothing happens to him that makes him change his outlook or anything like that. He just does stuff and then he's like, yep, I'm a fucking great doctor, and then he walks off.
He gets a cape.
He gets a sick cape. Oh my god, that suit is so cool.
It is a really cool looking suit. I'm a big fan of it.
I just wish it came with a little character.
Yeah. Mm. It was really great to see Gekitotsu robots again, though.
Yeah, they haven't forgot about their forms. I appreciate that.
And you know what's funny? Is that when Emma was using Gekitotsu robots to fight the boss from the end of the game or whatever, like, you know, double, like, 10 times the level.
Yeah.
And he was still fighting him. It reminded me of, like, a Souls series level 1 run. Where he just kept dodging and using, like, special abilities and shit to fight him.
He's just naked and you have the fucking Zvi or whatever you can pick up.
You got the giant club is what you got. The one that's just weighty enough to where you can carry it.
I gotta bandy this achievement around everywhere. When I played Dark Souls for the first time, I played Demon Souls, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I said, I want to be a crossbow man. And that went fucking awful.
Yeah,
and
then that's a good choice
I played Dark Souls. I played them as they came out. I played Dark Souls first time through, and I was like, I'll be a thief. And obviously there's no fucking thief armor in the game, so I just stuck with the starter thief gear. And I got all the way to...
Thief knife.
The bandit's knife. I was on my way to Four Kings when I stopped. I beat Ornstein and Smo with the bandit's knife.
So you won that fight through attrition.
It was well over 100 tries it took me. I could do that fight in my sleep now. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I beat Yellow Devil using Buster only, no pause tricks.
I know.
And also, didn't get hit once.
I watched you do that live.
Yeah!
I was present at history.
Yeah, I wish I would have got a recording of that, because people don't believe it.
We should be genius gamers.
Yeah, Genius Gamer J. Genius Gamer L.
Yeah.
Anyway, this episode didn't develop Hero at all, and the plot line that I thought would be really cool to continue throughout this, like a small portion of the show, just ended for the most part, and it's probably just going to be touched on from now on.
It wasn't an episode with a lot of terrible shit in it, but really nothing that great happened. It was just
it was a little disappointing.
It was a mildly entertaining but kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I'll give it that. Like, if I was giving it a grade, I would give it like a C minus.
Yeah, I'd give it like a middle C.
Oh, la di da.
La di da. Yeah, I'm a little easier than you, as usual.
You're a little fucking nicer teacher than I am. I'd be the teacher making kids hold like balanced books in a corner,
holding two water buckets for showing up late.
500 push-ups. So that's enough about that.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, Liam?
We have news.
What happened this week in the world of tokusatsu?
So, Jeff, you love the original 1971 Kamen Rider series, I know.
I am a big fan.
So you'll be a fan of this. A fan subgroup called XIG just came out and released the entire series in 4 batches, all subbed.
What?
Including the movies.
For real?
Kamen Rider vs. Shocker and Kamen Rider Ambassador Hell. The films are included. All the episodes are there from 1 to 98.
Oh my god!
So if you ever wanted to watch the original Kamen Rider series, I've seen bits and pieces of it, and yeah, it's pretty nuts. You should definitely check that out. I'll have that in the blog post, and you can download it at your leisure. Legally, of course, you can download the ticket to go to Japan and watch it on TV legally.
Of course.
Yeah, so check that out.
We put together an itinerary for you.
First you go to the diner, then you go to your hotel, then you get to walk around Akihabara.
You go to your love hotel.
You go to the love hotel. We only got it for an hour. We got Poppy there.
Oh, God. I'll stay in America, please.
She's the only one we could afford. They paid us to take her.
I'm sure our fans who love Poppy are going to enjoy the implications of that joke.
Yeah, all two of them.
I'd love if it was just two of them. That'd be great.
Yeah, get at me.
Fucking bring it on! The thing about Kamen Rider, the original series, even if you're not big on Showa, and if you're not, go fuck yourself. If you're not big on Showa, I highly recommend the first 13 or so episodes of the original Kamen Rider series. Because they're like a weird fucking experiment in film.
Yeah,
and they're so
fun. Yeah.
I love them.
It's they're hard subs, and they're a little more direct translations of Japanese. I don't know exactly how they are. I haven't seen them yet myself. But I'm sure...
Are there any, Baka Santachis in it?
Probably not, but we'll see. Anyways, definitely fucking... The fact that the original series is subbed, I'm thankful enough for that. I really didn't think it was ever going to happen. So,
I thought people were going to make it to 40 and stop, like every other subgroup that's ever worked on it.
It's just
There is that one subgroup, Midnight... Was it Midnight
Midnight
Sun?
Crew. They did a...
Midnight Crew, yeah.
Stronger. That was fun.
They were working on the original series, weren't they? Or was that somebody else?
I think they were for a while.
Because I think they got way higher than that. But,
yeah.
The whole series is subbed now.
This is just like with Super 1. I think it's the same people who did Super 1. Where, like, it's out of nowhere, they were just like, oh yeah, here's Super 1. We just did all of it.
See... That's how, subs were, way back in the day, where, there were no blogs or anything to follow. It's just somebody would come out in, a chat room and be like, oh, I subbed the whole series. Here.
Back in the Wild West days of the internet, eh?
Back in the 1980s, when I was but a lad of 45. I miss those days. I miss my original teeth, mostly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the wooden ones aren't doing you very good, are they?
No. Very splintery.
Yeah,
very splintery.
Here. Right in your gums, too. Youch.
You get used to it. So that's really good news, everybody.
That's fantastic.
I'm
going to
fucking watch that. I'm going to watch that instead of Fies.
Wow, no. Don't do that.
It's going to happen.
Fies is really good.
It's all right.
It's pretty good.
It's all right. What's next on the news docket?
So here's something that will blow your mind.
I'm ready.
This week, I found out, you know that Brave movie coming out, Beast Rider Squad?
Yes.
So at the end of that movie, there is a little teaser, and guess who's returning?
Who?
Foundation X.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I saw the fucking, like, briefcase with the X on it. Yeah, I thought Toei had just completely forgotten about Foundation X.
So did I, but apparently they're back.
They're back. Here's the thing about Foundation X, right?
Hmm.
There's supposed to be this, like, shadowy cabal working behind the scenes, and you wonder what they're up to and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so fucking incompetent.
I bet.
They're like a bunch of fucking, like, Keystone cops, except they're scientists and do evil. They're just constantly fumbling around and causing fucking, like, stuff to fall into the wrong hands and getting beat up and having to retreat from their bases and shit. They're like anti-Shocker.
Maybe that's all part of their plan.
Maybe they want people to think that they're completely incompetent.
And they'll lure you in, and then when winter strikes and you're not prepared, then they all come out.
That's my plan. I'm just making people think I'm incompetent.
Yeah, it's been working out great.
Yeah.
The illusion's really strong.
A few decades of that in so far.
Yeah, it's what's your plan after that, you were telling me? What was that?
Oh, God, I forget. Yeah, I should probably get on that. So that's cool. Foundation X is coming.
Foundation
back.
X. Last time they were here was the Forze movie?
I think so.
In which Gintaro is a teacher. I think that one had Foundation X in it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so, God, it's been a long time. I really thought it was just a double O's and Forze thing, and then they just forgot to resolve it. But, hey.
No, it's back.
Yeah. Fucking weird.
In Pog form.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little bit of unrelated news.
Okay.
We've made comments in the past, especially Tamaz has mentioned it in the past, that the Japanese love puns to the point of absolute fucking incredulousness.
Yep.
And some people say that, you know, we're being too hard on the Japanese. Maybe we're being a little xenophobic.
Mm.
This week, Kia came out with a car called the 5.5, which has a rice cooker built into it.
Okay.
In Japanese, 5 is go,
mm-hmm.
and 0.5 is half, which is han. Gohan means rice.
Oh, no.
So they built a fucking rice cooker into their car because of a pun in the name.
Why would you need a rice cooker in your car in the first place?
Dude, fucking lunch on the go, baby.
When you're, like, on the highway and you're stuck in a gridlock and you're like, damn, I'm hungry. Good thing I brought that bag of rice.
Are you telling me you don't have a George Foreman grill in your car?
I don't even own a car, dude. I don't have money.
I got a George Foreman grill in the front seat, and I got a fucking Mike Tyson grill in the back.
Mike Tyson? Are there Mike Tyson grills?
No, they're not Mike Tyson grills.
Okay. I would have believed you. If you said yes, I would have believed you. And then I would have Googled it later.
Oh, my God.
Just for future reference. If you say any person grill, I'll believe you.
Yeah, the just fucking grill. Mahatma Gandhi grill is my favorite.
I'd believe a Mahatma Gandhi grill as, like, something you see on an infomercial at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
As seen on TV. That's something Foundation X would make.
I still can't believe that, though. Fucking 5.5. Go on. Let's put a rice cooker in it. It'll be hilarious.
Are you sure they didn't start with the rice cooker and then think, well, what a great pun we could call it if we call it 5.5?
Probably. Or do you think... It's funnier the other way, though.
They got 90% in there and like, oh, fuck, wait, we called it Gohan. We gotta put some rice in there. Where do we work that?
I'd be that guy. I'd be that guy in the room that's like, hey, let's put a rice cooker in it. Wouldn't that be funny? Except, you know, somebody would say no.
Yeah, it's
probably but they didn't.
You set the company back like $5 million so you can throw a rice cooker in the back of your car.
I'm pretty sure that's not an Onion article because it was on like a Kia website.
It was on the official Kia website.
Yeah. Okay. It was not an Onion article to my knowledge. So that's my news for the week.
Good news. Good news. What?
What else you got?
That's it for my Kamen Rider news.
Okay.
That's it.
That's sad.
The guy that plays Hero joined a cult.
Oh my God.
No, he didn't.
Joined Happy Science.
Fucking, imagine if every week someone new joined a cult. I'd be so happy if it was a different cult that I could read up on. Because learning about
Liam
Happy Science.
Liam from Rider Club Radio joined a cult.
Learning about Happy Science is like the most fun I ever had on this podcast.
Dude, be the change you want to see in the world.
You want to be the cult leader?
Yeah, to go join a cult.
Join a cult?
Yeah.
I don't even know of any cults that are around here. I'm sure there's a few.
I'm sure Scientology's there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
When I was in Washington, D.C., my hotel room was right across the street from the Scientology Center.
Mm.
Or whatever the fuck they call it. It's like the world headquarters for Scientology.
The building.
Tom Cruise could have been in there right then, for all I know.
Tom Cruise, Will Smith, all the others?
There was, every time I would walk down the street in front of my my posh five-star hotel that I certainly paid a buttload of money for.
I bet.
That wasn't the cheapest thing I could possibly find in the city. somebody was staring. The same person, some middle-aged woman with black hair was staring out the window towards me every single time with this look on her face that said, "Don't come in here, we have secrets."
At you specifically or just at anyone?
At everyone. At everyone.
Oh, imagine if it was at you. Like, she'd come out and look at you, and then the second you were like a block away, she'd go back in.
She was like, "The chosen one."
He's revealed himself.
L. Ron Hubbard has reincarnated.
Initiate Protocol Epsilon.
His Thetan levels are off the charts.
Call Foundation X.
I foresee a lot of Foundation X talk.
I'm trying to bring it back around. That's all. I'm so desperately trying to keep it relevant.
Gotta keep Foundation X in people's minds. So what's next on this podcast, sir?
How about we talk about Q-Ring? No, let's talk about Fize.
Let's say Moshi Moshi Fize.
Moshi Moshi Ring Ring. Moshi Moshi.
Ring Ring Fize. Ring. Fize call. Fize call.
Hello, Fize. This week, the best character in the show was introduced.
Kusaka.
Masato Kusaka.
He's the one who Mari thinks is her childhood friend, but isn't. He's the best character in the show.
Ichiro Kusaka. That's now I understand when people are talking about misunderstandings in what is this fucking writer's name? I can't believe it slipped me.
Toshiki Inoue.
Inoue. When they're talking about misunderstandings in Inoue's scripts, now I see.
Oh, that's like fucking barely.
This is some low-level misunderstanding, but it was irritating to me because it was so obvious right from the start.
Yeah.
She talks to him for hours, and she's like, you're my childhood friend. And he's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yeah, you are. You're being silly. And then it shows him at like a different location. Like, he keeps walking.
Wait, why are you
like
being
parts.
Like this, Kusaka?
I know you
remember
right?
when we were children?
No, I don't remember that. And then instead of saying, okay, have a good day, you must be mistaking me for someone else, he's like, yeah, I'll go to the gym with you, I'll go to the park with you, I'll go to the
airport. We'll sit on the steps together.
I'll just keep telling you no every time, though. I'm not going to explain myself.
Meanwhile, we meet this upstanding young citizen, the captain of every team at his college.
Masato Kusaka, what a dreamboat.
He is a great man. He's a friend of justice.
With a winning smile.
He also watches a man writhe in pain with no emotion on his face.
Well, it was a filthy orphanok.
He's just sitting there, and then he knocks the water over, and he's like, ah, look what you did.
Yeah, man, you fucked up. How could you do that?
It's actually really well done at this point, that you start to see the layers of his lies peeled back as an audience member. To begin with, you're like, look at this upstanding citizen. He's a much better guy than the shithead we have as a main character.
You really do get the impression that the other characters get, that he's a little aloof, and Takumi just hates him because he's better at him than everything.
Yeah. Which, then, you know, that's what it seems like, straight up.
Yeah, and that's what everyone else thinks, too. You see their perspective, which is cool.
But then, like, slowly, you start to see, like, Takumi falls in the river, and he doesn't care at all.
Yeah.
And, like, he's watching Kiba, like, writhing in pain with this look that's almost like he's entertained by it.
Just sitting there staring at him. And when, is it Mari who questions him about the signature on the last reunion?
Yeah, and he's just like he realizes he's about to be caught in something, it looks like. The look on his face really seems like that, and then he just says, oh, I don't know. Must be a prank.
Yeah, probably just something dumb. Don't ask me about it anymore.
Yeah, let me live in your house.
Probably just shut your mouth about that. He lives in the house, too. I love it. I really thought he was going to be like, no, I have my own place. I go to school here. I have a life here. But no, he's like, no, I'll fucking move into this laundromat with you. Who cares?
Sure.
Like, it's the other...
Fucking, like, what's his name? Keitaro?
Keitaro.
He's just like, come and live in our house.
Yeah, imagine you meet a guy at a party and you're like, dude, you want to come live with me? You're awesome, dude. I've
known you
for like 6 hours, but like,
I would like to keep my eyeballs and skin. Thank you very much.
No, like, I live in a laundromat. It's dark and no one ever comes here.
I live in a laundromat, and also apparently you work at it now, too.
Yeah, come and iron, and it's just weird, weird Kamen Rider living situations. That's just how it is.
It is. I got a big kick out of, God, I wish I could remember Snake Man's name.
Oh, fuck. Kaido.
Kaido. I got a big kick out of Kaido, like, finding Takumi and just being like, it's not the right guy, fuck it. Just leaving him, just dropping his face back in the water and running off.
There's a hilarious mix-up in this episode when Takumi gets knocked into the river by an Orphanok, and Horseman gets knocked into a river by another Orphanok, and they both get found by each other's groups. Like, the Orphanok group finds Takumi, and the good guy group, Keitaro and Mari, find Horseman.
Kiba.
Kiba, thank you. They find Kiba. And fucking Kusaka. Takumi learns that Orphanoks can have good hearts, because the lady girl...
Sonata?
I don't know anybody's names in this. Thank you, Jeff.
I don't remember her name either.
I think it's Sonata. But
yeah,
well,
let's not call her that in case it's not her name.
Okay, let's call her Feather Girl.
Yeah.
She takes care of him, and Takumi starts to realize that there are some Orphanoks that have the hearts of humans, which makes...
But does Takumi not see her murder a room full of bikers?
Well, they were bad guys.
It seems like he doesn't see that, because from his point of view, when she transforms back to normal, like, you can't see anybody being killed.
He's looking straight up, and if you look at the cinematography, it places the sun behind her, so I'm sure it's, like, shining in his face, and he can't see much. I think that's the implication.
It's really hard to be on Takumi's side right now, where he, like, attacks Kusaka. Kusaka's been a dickhole to him, you know, or whatever, but he just attacks him and just beats the shit out of him.
Yep.
And rescues this Orphanok lady he just met.
Yep.
I mean, she was real nice to him and everything, but...
If I were in Takumi's shoes, I'm not sure... I might have done the same thing.
Also, this is where the misunderstandings come in, again. Mm. Because all it would take... in any of the misunderstandings in this entire series, is for Takumi to be like, hey guys, here's what I'm doing. Here's what actually happened.
Yeah, that's true.
But instead, he just, like, looks down and then runs off.
He's trying to rescue the Orphanok, and they're like, Takumi, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, get away! Go away! I'm doing something.
Yeah, couldn't he just be like, she saved me? And they'd be like, oh shit, really?
Yeah, she's got the heart of a human.
But instead, he does nothing.
He fights a lot. He fights a giant robot.
A very, very poorly done CGI robot.
I love all the shots when they don't want to do CGI, so they hide the rest of the robot behind something and just show Kusaka on a bike high up. And it looks like he's like on a floating bike. And he's like, get away from my sick robot. And then it does a kind of awkward cut to this horrible CGI robot.
That reminds me of Q-Ranger.
Reminds me of Ryuki. Reminds me of a lot of shows.
It reminds me of Q-Ranger in that during the scene when Balance and Naga are doing their, like, fucking, like, water dancing thing, I guess because they knew a water dancing place, they just blur out Naga's face.
Look, there's
which
a lot of
had
water.
To have been, like, a last-minute thing. They were like, oh, shit, you could super tell that's not Naga.
Oh, God, that guy is totally, like, a 50-year-old professional stunt actor.
Yeah, there's that in... Exade as well when
this episode
in this episode where fucking
Hero
what's his name Hero he rolls onto the roof and he looks like a much older, more badass man.
He is a different man for a couple shots. It's very obvious.
Like, whoever that is that was doing that stunt looked like a grizzled fucking badass, became babyface Hero in the next frame.
He was so resolved in that moment that he became a 70s rider, just for a brief few seconds, and then he reverted back.
That was a beautiful moment. he evolved, but somebody pressed B.
Oh.
Deep That's a world. Reference to video games.
Wow, X8's all about video games.
It fits.
Well, there was one shot that made me laugh so hard this week in Fize, unintentionally.
What was that?
So the first time fucking Hojo goes to fight all the he's Hojo.
You just remembered the wrong name.
Fuck it, he's Hojo. Hojo goes to eliminate the useless Orphanox, the good guy Orphanox. And he fucks up the first time, and he comes back to the bar, and the lady at the bar is like, hey, you gonna go try again? And he says, yeah. And he has that book of poems with him the whole time. He says, yeah, don't worry, everything's gonna be fine. And he has the book of poems, and then he moves it over, and there's a book that says new poems on the front of it. And I fucking, if I was drinking something, I would have spat it all over my computer screen. He's like, it's such a serious, like, deathly now, serious
the way
shot.
He says it as well is what made, because I fucking laughed at it too.
Yeah.
He says, don't worry, does not every poem have a continuation? And then
yeah,
he moves the book over.
Poems?
And I'm like, I laughed and I went, no! No, it fucking doesn't!
A lot of poems have endings. Most poems have endings.
Pretty much all poems have
Almost
endings.
Almost every poem has an ending. But it's just like, that fucking, where it's like, I guess to Japanese kids, they wouldn't see how hilarious it looks.
Because it's in English, they don't know.
Because it's in English, but to us it just looks fucking hilarious.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if the guy who plays the lizard Orphanok can actually speak Japanese.
I don't think so.
Because all he ever says is Chako.
He says Chako, and very rarely he'll speak like a little one or two word
phrase.
Yeah,
he'll speak like maybe three words tops in the whole series. Is all he's ever said.
Makes me think he doesn't actually speak Japanese. I don't know.
Oh well.
So just
I can't wait until you get to meet the missing member of Lucky Clover.
The guy that destroys everything he touches?
Yeah.
Is he cool?
No.
Is he also played by Hojo?
No. I mean he's cool at the time.
Mm.
But not anymore. He's very dated.
Has he been convicted of some sort of sexual crime since then, or...?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I'm not going to say yes or no on it.
You don't know.
I will say that I went into Fize with a very poor attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think I'm going to hate it once we reach a certain point. I feel like my first watch through was severely tainted, because I'm remembering it in, like, reverse order from when I stopped watching back.
Yeah.
The show started off pretty terrible, and then it got tolerable. And now it's even alright.
I have been thoroughly enjoying almost all of it so far. It's a corny show. It's a melodramatic show, I'll give you that. But the characters have me really wrapped in. I love all their struggles. All the characters get put through some serious shit in the show, and I really enjoy that.
Like, at the end of the last episode, I was enjoying it, and then all of my enjoyment was fucking gone immediately when everybody started going, Takumi, I didn't know you were like this. You're terrible. And he could have just been like, no, she saved me. And they'd be like, oh.
Nope.
We're the assholes, but no.
No, I'm not
he didn't
tell
say
you.
Shit, because that's Inoue, and that's his fucking show.
You better not make my dinner too hot tonight, Mari, or I swear to God.
Also, he was just being a big fucking baby about Kusaka. Like, he's a tiny child.
That's I like that, though. Like, this is gonna sound weird to say, but Takumi is very human in a lot of ways. He's very
true.
Imperfect. He's petty, he's kind of lazy, he's a little entitled. He's got a lot of flaws.
He's all flaws.
He's not.
He has maybe one or two redeeming qualities.
He's not really much of a main writer. Yeah.
Which is why it was a stroke of genius in, like, the writing sense that they introduced Kusaka as being everything he's not.
Yeah, like, it's Kusaka is, like, perfect on the outside and an awful human on the inside. Fize is, like, a really flawed guy on the outside, but at his core is not a bad guy. That's really the... That's the gist of it.
I was really confused when Takumi walked out onto the tennis court and, like, took the ball and picked up a racket and just did, like, this big swing and then missed. I was like, this would be funny if it had any context whatsoever.
Nope. Just does it and then leaves. Oh, I think it's him.
He stepped
in
poop. That was funny.
I think it's him trying to one up Kusaki because he doesn't like him, and he's like, "I can fucking play tennis too." And he can't.
He didn't meet him yet, did he?
That was their first meeting, I think.
Yeah.
And he just didn't like his face.
Well, as anyone would.
Kusaka's got a bit of a he's got an evil face.
He's got a very punchable face.
It's his eyes. They're so like they're like angry all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's enough talking about Fies. Sayonara Fies.
Sayonara Fies. Click.
Boop boop boop.
I'll call you. Don't call me.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. So what's next?
Let's talk about Sentai. Let's talk about Q-Ranger Episode 2. What'd you think, Jeff?
Q-Ranger Episode 2. I'm warming up to it, I guess.
It was better.
I wanted to give Lucky a chance. I said so last episode. I wanted to give him a chance.
Nope.
He is squandering his chance.
I'm not. Lucky had one chance. He blew it with me. I hate him.
I gave him a second chance, and he is fucking squandering it. He says how lucky, or lucky something, at least 12 times in this episode. It's like a 20-minute fucking show.
It's gotten to the point where I don't hear it anymore. Like, whenever he says it, it's just static in my ears. It's heaven, pretty much.
I really like Balance and Naga, and their the way they play off of each other.
Yeah, they're fun. They're a fun couple.
They're fun. Naga is obviously a Vulcan.
Yeah, that's his.
Except he wants emotions for some reason, so he's like Data from the Next Generation.
But he can't just have a chip.
No. He's like, how do you know that?
I've picked it up through osmosis.
I've never talked about that before. Liam, do you want to admit anything to the crowd?
No, I've never watched TNG. Okay. Never.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
You just happen to know Data had an emotions chip.
I just know he had an emotions chip, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Fucking Trekkie-ass nerd.
I'm not a Trekkie.
Point at him and laugh. What a loser.
Don't do it. You can't. You.
Yeah, but I'm sexy. I can like whatever I want.
That's true. Shit, you always get me on that point.
It's a good thing nobody at home listening knows what I actually look like. It's like a weird cross, and then before the episode's over, he's fucking angry.
I think what they're trying to do is, like, he wants emotions, and through Lucky, who is this perfect character, he can glimpse them a little, and he wants to be like a normal, he gets a little, and then he goes away. And he gets a little bit, it's a promise. But not quite.
Every time Lucky stepped into a frame during the fight, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Because, like, Balance and Naga were doing all this cool fucking, like, team attack bros move shit.
Yeah.
And then he'd just jump in and do a regular attack, and I'm like, fuck off.
Look at me.
You're ruining the fight scene.
It's not like a Garu, which I didn't like as much, because his arc, like we said last week, is beginning, middle, and end, one episode.
Yeah.
It's sort of the beginning and then, like, the inklings of more, which is fine. He's getting them a little bit, but not quite. Not quite there. I'll accept that.
I thought I was going to like Balance best.
Mm.
But I think I like Naga best.
Really?
Yeah. Because he's two of my favorite characters in fiction smushed together. He's Spock and he's Data.
That's true. I didn't like Naga as much as I thought I was gonna.
He's a really poor imitation of those characters, but obviously, far, that's all I got to hold on to in this show.
I didn't like Naga as much as I thought I was gonna. I'm more excited for this new guy coming next week.
Yeah, you're gonna like the Scorpion Man.
Yeah.
Because he's a giant fucking prick.
Yeah, he's gonna be cool. Yeah, one thing I can say I love about this show is the establishing shots and the sets that they use.
That's
all,
true.
All you really need, like, it's... It seems like what they're putting up, like, we were scared last week, oh, they're just going to go to Earth. But what they're setting up is, like, oh, there's 48 bad guys, and each one guards a galaxy or whatever.
There's 88 bad guys.
Whatever, there's 60 quintillion bad guys. And yes. It seems like they're actually setting up, like, oh, they're going to go to a new planet every episode, which is pretty exciting for me to see all these crazy locales, because they've been doing pretty well with it so far. Like, it's all you
there's
need.
Like, there's, like, a limit to the type of thing that they're doing right now that scares me.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, I mean, how many locations around the city of Tokyo are you going to be able to find that look like an alien planet in any way, shape, or form? Like, this planet was literally just, like, they went to an oil refinery.
But that's the thing.
And filmed it. And they did a good job, but how are they going to find stuff that looks completely different around the Tokyo area like that?
All you need, you can maybe even reuse those sets and dress them differently. All you need, in my opinion, is a couple good establishing shots.
Which they're good at. They are definitely good at.
And some background compositing, which they do this episode as well, with like the giant factories and shit in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And they dress the sets up real nice, and they fill them with aliens, and it's just like a backlot, like you said, like a backlot behind an oil refinery. But I really bought into it this episode. I totally bought into it.
They did a good job.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
If only any of these characters fucking, like, mattered.
Yeah, the characters are the weakest part of Q-Ranger so far. They're all so flat.
Which is the exact opposite of Juojur.
I miss Juojur's characters.
Yeah, I do too. Like I say that I like Naga best out of all the characters introduced, but that's not fucking saying anything. It's like Cookman, girl who's fucking, like, laughs at everything. Which is robot not, lady who's angry.
That's the girl who laughs at everything is not a personality.
Bull man who stands in background.
And fucking
Wolfman, who also stands in background now.
Wolfman, yeah.
These aren't characters.
It's a problem with a 9-man cast, is you kind of... It's a little bloated.
And it's episode 2.
For an ensemble show, yeah.
It's episode 2, and I get that. But by episode 2, we knew the main cast personalities in Juojur, and we were interested to learn more. I don't give a shit about any of these characters.
You want at least a snapshot in episode 1. Of the cast, or at least of, like, the main cast, but there are so many fucking people, and they all, like, it seems like they are the snapshot. There's no roundness, there's no detail, it's just, like the one single thing.
We were straight up introduced to 5 characters last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And in a normal Sentai team, there's enough, like, breathing room given to that. But there was, like, this big fucking, like, opening monologue, and then there was this big bloated fight scene at the end. So there's this little tiny room, and they mostly spent it explaining who Garu is.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck are the original 3 Q-Rangers?
There's a guy who makes cooking metaphors and nothing else. Yeah. That's his whole personality. And the laughing girl in the bowl. The Bamzos. Yep.
From what we understand from supplementary material, Laughing Girl is some sort of a ninja. She is from the Shinobi Star.
From what she says, yeah.
And Bullman is like a championship wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But we only know this from supplementary materials.
Yeah, they...
And they can introduce that.
They mention
what I'm
once.
Hoping.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping is that once we get all 9 characters in place, which is probably going to happen in 2 more episodes...
Mm-hmm.
We will give specific episodes to these characters one at a time to explain who they are, what their personality is, and what they want from the team.
Yes. I'm sure that'll be the case. I'm sure they'll do that. It's how well they can do it that I'm worried about.
I don't know.
It's
somebody pointed out to us, I forget who.
No credit tonight.
No credit. I forget who. They said that there is a literal fucking pin pineapple apple pen.
Yes! What in the this episode. Fuck? I totally forgot about that. When they make an axe and there's 2 pieces and Balance is like, I got this and I got this.
At Great Bit Blog.
Great Bit that Blog. To us.
Why the fuck? Why did you let me know that? Why did you have to tell me?
I'd like it known on the record. That Juojur never stooped to memes.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. You know what other show hasn't stooped to memes? Fies.
Yeah. As far as we know.
As far as maybe there's some sick 2004 memes at play in Fies.
Like, I don't know Japanese memes is the thing, besides Blade.
Blade, that's the only one we know.
The first 12 episodes of Blade.
And Blade did not exist yet when Fies is around.
There
was the same thing we did like a month ago. There was that X8 stage play that also did a pen pineapple pen.
Yeah, and that
joke.
Was like the saddest, most cringiest thing at the time. But now it's in a show.
That was a stage play. You can ignore stage plays. This is in. Mm.
Oh well.
Oh well. What can you do? That's a major strike.
I want to like Balance more than I do, because he's very... He's, like, ridiculously flamboyant. He's not like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure flamboyant, where he's, like, posing a lot and shit.
God, he should be.
He's, like... I don't know. He's, like, horrible gay stereotype. Like, you're supposed to laugh at him because he's gay. And I know that's not what they're going for, but to a Western audience, that's just what that seems like.
He's quite feminine.
He also was, like, a dick for a little bit, but now he's, like, the best guy ever, and he's, like, a huge team player.
That's the same thing. His arc happens in this episode, too, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess I don't mind it's a little arc that he joins the team, but these characters aren't well written, so I'm scared they don't have anything for later.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of as well, that... Even if we do get episodes that are introducing the characters further, that they'll stay just as shallow.
Who can say at this point? Who can know?
I don't know. It's not like the Juodras were like deep fucking oceans of characters or whatever, but they weren't like shallow puddles after 2 days after a rainstorm like these guys are.
They were 50 episodes worth of good. I could watch them for 50 episodes and be entertained. These guys aren't really.
I hate to say it, but we're like... careening on a bullet train towards dropping the show.
We'll see.
We're gonna stick in there for at least another week.
Well, hang on. I'm on the side of the bullet train. Hanging on for my life.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hopefully we can hit the brakes on this shit. Or Toei can hit the brakes on it.
Only you have the power, John.
I know you listen. I know we're your favorite.
I need you to do me a solid.
So that's enough about that.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What mail did we get this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We got a message this week on our Twitter,
okay.
Which is at Rider Club Radio. And you can send us messages.
Yeah, do that. Let's throw that plug in here.
We'll read them out just like an email.
Put it early.
Our first message is from at Anachronist42.
I know who that is.
Yeah, she's cool. She said, "Hey guys, just sending in some questions before the podcast happens. If you could be part of any Kamen Rider production, whether it's a series or movie, in any capacity, so actor, set designer, editing, whatever, from any point in time, which would you pick and why?"
I would want to write a miniseries a la Amazon. That's what I want. I want to be a writer on a show.
Yeah. What series would you base it on?
Oh God. I don't know if I'd base it on any particular show. I just want to make like one of those nice little niche 13 episode things that are weird and non-standard where I could just do whatever I want with it. I don't know what I'd do with it, but that's what I'd want. That's the position I'd want to be in.
See, I don't know. It's tough to pick because if I could work at Toei in any position, I would probably want to work as like a character designer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to pick what series I'd want to work on. I feel like a lot... more effort could be put into some of the Orphanox suits.
Yeah.
Some of them are really cool, but some of them are not.
A lot of them are pretty ugly.
And they have such a cool concept that they're all, like, colorless.
They're all white and pure, yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
Kind of like a gray.
But I think Forze had a lot of room for, like, really cool-ass looking monsters based on, like, Zodiac stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And only some of the characters are actually cool looking.
Yeah. Alternatively, I want to be an extra who gets killed by a monster in a horrible fashion. I want, like, the monster starts, like an Agito kind of thing, where, like, the monster starts rampaging, and it's just like, I'm like, coming out from work, like, do-do-do-do-do, I'm never gonna die. And then this, like, eagle would come and just fucking run me through with his beak, and I'd be like, oh my god! And then
he, like, fucking rips your heart out.
Yeah. And then you'd cut to the hero, like, reading about it on the news or something. That'd be what I want to be, if I was an actor.
If I was an actor, I would want to be, and Liam could as well be the Barry Brothers. In Kamen Rider Gaim movie.
Yeah, the Gaim Gaiden, two characters you never saw.
I don't know if we ever made names for that shit, but it was... It
Blueberry
was
and Blackberry.
Riders based on Blueberry and Blackberry.
The Berry Bros.
And if you go far enough back, you can hear all about it.
Yeah, I think the episode was called Berry Bros Unite.
Yeah, maybe.
Like episode 20 or something. It was so long ago.
God, that was so long ago. But that would be us in a series. But no, I would want to work as a character designer, and picking a series is really difficult.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe, like, hate to say it because I hate Ghost so much, but the enemies in Ghost were so fucking lackluster.
Oh, they were awful. The Ganon were terrible. Designs.
Like, they needed... I'm not saying, like, I'm a good artist or anything, but they needed somebody with a creative eye for character design.
They take the
and
base
I feel
suit.
I could have done better.
Yeah, they take the base Ganma suit, like, that same sort of belt and boots, and they slap dildos and trench coats and shit on it. Just whatever they could find in the warehouse. It was awful.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes I look at design documents for Toku Monsters, and they look so much cooler on the page when the artist has, like, freedom. Crazy.
Yeah, but when they're actually making the suits, it's really difficult to translate that.
Yeah, it's the movement especially. Like, sometimes it's how they move that really gets them. But it's budget, and that's Toku. I live with it.
Our first email...
Oh, boy.
...is from James, who says, "Hey, guys, podcast is spicy as always."
Spicy, thank you.
I'm guessing that this is a response to you, like... making fun of people saying the podcast is still good episode.
It's a little too much. Maybe dial back the chili sauce, but unless it's an okay podcast.
It's still spicy.
Use a little extra salt.
Last year was the 45th anniversary of Rider and the 10th anniversary of Kabuto, and Toei gave us Ghost to celebrate. How does that make you guys feel?
Well, X8 is the celebration series. That's the one that started in 2016. Ghost started in 2015. That wasn't the anniversary series, so they can be as lazy on that one as they want.
I guess. If it was the anniversary series, then they treated it like that, which they did give him the movie where he teamed up with Hongo Takeshi.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I feel a mixture of disgust, contempt, and anger.
I feel a lack of surprise.
Maybe a little bit of indigestion.
I know I figured they weren't going to do anything about Kabuto. I remember some point last year, Hiro Mizushima made a little Instagram post mentioning Kabuto. He's moved on. He's doing other shit. He's acting, and he's also like a co-owner of some business or something. He's doing really well for himself.
Yeah, he's a busy man. He was on American television, which is like a whole world that Japanese actors usually don't break into.
Yeah, it's true. He was on Girls, and then
show did get canceled in the season he was in.
He Rider kicked it. But he made an Instagram, I think it was Instagram, one of those posts about Kabuto. So he hasn't forgotten. He celebrated, at least. I appreciate that.
It's still in his heart. He's a hero to justice.
He's a hero to Kabuto, one of the best shows.
Lastly, what human character do you guys see as the most evil and unredeemable? To me, it's a tie between Banno, who wanted to become Cyber Hitler, and Dan, who tried to murder a kid on two separate occasions and killed two other guys for no other reason than because he can.
Definitely Oja, I'm gonna say.
Oja is a legitimate serial killer.
Oja was funny because every time they gave him an arc that made you think he might turn good, it was always a ploy. Like, they did it twice with the brother, once with the brother and once with the little girl, where both times he was like, it might be good, maybe he's got a heart, and then he kills his brother and uses the little girl as bait to draw out a monster so he can eat him. And it's like, he's just such a fuck. Even in the end, he fights the police in his last appearance. He never slows down. He's just a go-getter, that guy. He's so evil. I love him.
Oh, man. This is a really tough question. Because as much as Kusaka is like an irredeemable shithead, he's not a serial killer?
He's not? Well, I don't know. He's got it in him, I bet.
I mean, I guess he kills a lot of Orphanox, and they used to be people, but technically they died already, so... Yeah, it's really tough to get past Oja. Although, like, Banno's plot was to become Cyber Hitler, and that's pretty fucking bad.
Banno's pretty high up there. He has absolutely no niceness in him
for anyone. But Banno's, like, cartoonishly evil? Like, he's like a Saturday morning cartoon villain.
Yeah, I guess Banno, like, fucking... Oja killed people a lot. He ate his own mother's poop. He was a hardcore.
That's the true mark of a villain.
I mean, I bet Banno never did that. I bet he had a pretty happy childhood.
Probably. How the fuck did he end up being what he was then, is the question.
Maybe he was spoiled.
Father of the year. Dan did try to murder a kid. Did OJ ever murder a kid?
Did he murder a kid? I don't... He used the kid as bait. That's pretty dangerous. I don't think he was trying to kill her, though.
Yeah. Not really the same thing.
When he was a kid, he killed his parents in a house fire. I think he was 16.
That's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's not the same thing. I don't think he's ever tried to kill a kid.
He also includes a photograph from a stage show that has two of the, like, turkey head monsters, the, like, mooks.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the Bugster mooks, and they're dressed up very obviously as Mario and Luigi, with, like, big fake mustaches attached to their faces and everything.
That's funny.
And he says, have a good week, and here's something from an X-Age stage show, and I love everything about it. And I also love everything about it.
You gotta show me that picture.
It's in the email.
Okay, I don't go there.
What a fucker.
It's a long walk. I don't like going to the email.
Our next message on Twitter is from Paris Valsenis.
It's a very fancy name.
I guess. Hi, my favorite toku shits. How was your day? Good? Same here.
Well, I didn't even get the chance to answer yet.
Yeah, my day was a very long day.
I was very tired at work.
Did you guys notice that part where Paradox said Dai Henshin?
No.
Did you?
No, I didn't. Does
yeah,
he say
did.
That?
He does say Dai Henshin.
Oh.
I have three questions for the both of you. One, Jeff, what's bad about Fize in your opinion? And Liam's, what's good about Fize? I feel like that question is being answered in our segment.
Let's summarize it. I like the characters and I like their struggles. They're interesting to me. That's what I love about Fize.
I hate the melodrama, and I absolutely can't stand that all of the character, like every bit of friction between characters could be solved with one sentence every single time.
Well, that's not true. Look, the friction between Takumi and Kusaka couldn't be solved with a sentence.
Kusaka's a piece of shit.
The friction between Takumi and almost everyone couldn't... Like, he's still a dick to Mari. He still hates Keitaro for all of
that's
his
all
attitude.
Like background noise. It's not like friction of the plot. Like, the plot could be resolved in a single sentence. That's not good writing.
I guess.
Question two. Jeff, if you could change one thing about Q Ranger, what would it be? And Liam, if you could change one thing in Fize, what would it be?
Why can't I say my thing for Q Ranger?
You can say your thing for Q Ranger as well.
Lucky!
Yeah, I would also change Lucky. Well, no. Fuck that. I would change the entire structure of the show so far, which is only two episodes, so it could be done. Okay. I would have them have these characters be introduced slowly.
Just slow the whole show down a little.
You know what? Just have the fucking, like, pink lady in the ship and, like, Lucky meets her.
Yeah.
And yeah, make Lucky not shit, I guess, but...
Give him any reason to join.
Introduce the characters in a way that's much more natural, and, like, you learn more about them than the green lady, like, laughs at things, and yellow guy enjoys cooking.
Just write the show better.
Yeah.
If I could change one thing about Fize, I would add a scene that explains why Takumi doesn't explain why he's protecting an orphanok. Maybe, like, have just some scene that would give him a reason to keep it a secret. Like, maybe he's afraid that, I don't know, Kusaka will turn on him and try and kill him, and he knows Kusaka's stronger or something like that. I don't know. Or he's afraid his friends will turn on him because they're like, you wouldn't do... Like, they'll be eating dinner and they'll be like, yeah, I wouldn't be fucked up if someone tried to protect an orphanok, I'd probably kill that guy in his sleep if he did that. Or just anything to anything to give him a reason not to do that. Yeah. That's what I'd change.
I would change Liam asking me if I'll watch this show with him.
Well, I have to now. I gotta be the fucking Fize police. You did this to yourself.
You asked me if I wanted to watch it with you, and I said yes, I would change that.
Okay.
That's how I would change Fize.
Okay.
And three, Liam, will you do a spoiler cast on Ryuki? We've already done that.
We did a Ryuki spoiler cast. You want a link? Yeah.
It's on YouTube, guys. If you go to our YouTube page, it's right at the bottom. Spoiler casts, and it has a list of them.
Yeah, check them out.
I guess we need to, like, figure out some way to make that more obvious. Like, maybe have, like, a thing on the blog, like a link at the top or something? I don't know.
I'll figure it out with my web wizardry.
We will figure that out, because it's obviously not really working out.
Yeah.
our next email is from Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake. Is that his actual handle, or are we just calling him Jake the Snake?
I've just called him Jake the Snake every time. I don't know why.
Okay, I appreciate it.
And the funny part is, I don't think that I've said it before every time. Hey, guys. I always thought Dopanto was a reference to doping. Because it fucking is.
That's what Jeff and Tomas were arguing about.
Yeah, dopant. Because doping.
Gaia memories are kind of drug-like.
The tangents... Well, yeah, there are Gaia memory dealers in the show. They're drug dealers.
Yeah.
The tangents are hilarious to listen to, by the way, from barcades to the etymology of Kaijin terms.
Thank you. We got a good one this episode.
Yeah. Tattle Fantasy is an improvement over Do Re Mi Fa Beat, design-wise at least.
Definitely.
Also, even if it's outclassed at this point power-wise, I still enjoy seeing Gekitotsu robots on screen. I agree.
Yeah, I love the suit.
Questions. 1. Who are some of the supporting characters in Rider or Sentai that you're fond of or grew on you? My obvious choice would be the SCU. At first, I thought they were going to be a bunch of comic relief characters, and that'd be it. But the spotlight each of them got and the roles they played proved me wrong.
Ooh.
I felt very similar about the SCU. I'll say that real quick, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can't say much about Sentai because I ain't seen shit in Sentai. But, ooh, Rider, supporting cast. The SCU is a good choice because they really grew on me and I really miss them now.
Yeah,
they're
too.
Q and Gen and all them. Oh, man. Most of the older shows I watch have much smaller supporting casts.
That's
not
true.
Not like a team or anything.
Although I was going to say my favorite supporting cast is probably from the original series.
Oh, Tachibana and them.
Yeah, Tachibana and fucking Taki Kazuya.
Yeah.
And all the ladies.
It's a good choice. I'm going to say Kuga.
Yeah, Ichijo has
and
great.
The archaeologist friend. They're a fantastic duo.
Yeah, Ichijo kind of like tips it over in that direction anyway. Like, Ichijo is like the Taki Kazuya of Heisei.
Yeah,
he's such an important character and he gets in on the action a ton.
I don't know if I'd even call him a supporting character. He's a main character kind of, but for the sake of non-rider characters, like the non-rider cast of Kuga is really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Agito. Fuck, either of those two shows have really good casts. Shit, it's hard to pick, actually.
I think I'm gonna stick with the original series, because I feel like that was when Tachibana was the Tachibanaist.
Yeah, definitely.
And I fucking love seeing Taki get into shit, because he thinks he's a rider, even though he's not.
I remember Tachibana in Stronger is just, he's not a mentor or anything, he's a comic relief and that's it.
He wears a cowboy hat all the time.
Yep.
There's something I wonder about Stronger. Is Stronger supposed to be in, like, a faux America version of Japan?
I think...
Because Tachibana wears a cowboy hat, and they all play, like, American football all the time, and they're always eating hamburgers.
Yeah, Stronger's suit is kind of based off an American footballer's suit.
Yeah.
I think it was just cool.
Everybody loves America, right?
They couldn't...
Right, rest
gonna,
of the world?
They're not gonna fucking fool me into thinking that all these Japanese people who speak perfect Japanese are hanging around in America and interacting with each other.
Well,
I'm pretty sure
kids
just...
in Japan.
Maybe. I think it was just cool. All that stuff is cool. It's the 70s. Burgers are awesome. Football's awesome.
Burgers
are
still
sick.
Awesome.
That's
burgers
true.
Are always awesome.
Burgers are less awesome today.
I had a burger today. It was delicious.
You lucky. I've been craving burgers lately.
Yeah, I had a big-ass juicy burger that had blue cheese and fucking buffalo sauce on it. It was so good.
I like going to... I want to go to Five Guys now. Fuck.
Sponsored by Five Guys.
Sponsored by Five Guys. It tastes good even when it's cold.
You only have diarrhea for 2 nights. question 2. Did the most upstanding citizen and all-around good guy on Fives, Kusaka Masato, meet all of Liam's expectations this week?
He's getting there. I just want him to see. I just want to see him do something so awful. I'm waiting for the tipper where I'm like, he's just like right now. He's a dick. Sure, he's a dick. But I want to see him do something really, really fucking horrible. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to look at him and be like, you fucking piece of shit. Like,
you're
computer.
Never gonna do that. You're gonna fucking. He's gonna do something absolutely horrible, and you're gonna be beaten off, going, yeah, Kusaka.
No, that's, I love to hate characters. I love characters that are fun to hate, and Kusaka seems like he's going to be very fun to hate.
Man. It's like, it depends on how good they are at making me hate the character whether I enjoy it or not.
Yeah. Funny enough, Hojo is another good example of a character that I really like to hate, but I know, Jeff, you didn't like him at all.
I like to hate Hojo. I like it. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I like it, but I love to hate... No. I don't love to hate Dio when he's, like, the villain Dio in JoJo.
Because
he's so much fun that I can't hate him. But when he's a kid, kid Dio, I don't love to hate him at all. I just fucking hate him. And it was the most fucking perfect moment of Schadenfreude when JoJo knocks the shit out of him and he starts crying.
For the first time, yeah, when they're 13.
That was the most beautiful moment in anime history.
When I started reading JoJo, I knew about Dio. People had told me about him, but not the details. And there's a bit where he's hanging out with JoJo's dad, George Joestar. And he's like, whoa, that dog Danny, he and JoJo are pretty close, huh? And JoJo's dad's like, yeah, they're like best friends. And Dio's like, And I'm like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
like,
I already know. He fucking throws a dog into a fucking furnace. Jesus. What an asshole.
What a great, great... Dio's just, like you said, he's so much fun.
Burning dogs alive, so much fun.
He got his in the end.
Yeah, he did. Thanks and looking forward to the next episode as always, Jake. P.S. I hope this is the shot Jeff was talking about from last week's episode, Dastardly Dan's ridiculous smile. And I want you to go into our email and take that photo and at least put it in the blog post as a small little photo.
Okay, I'll put that in there.
Because it is the exact face I was talking about. Jake knew. We were on the same fucking wavelength.
I put a ridiculous smile in the blog post last week, but I don't think it was that one.
It might be. I don't really remember.
Might be. Okay.
But our next email and the final email is from friend of somebody, Dewey Defeats Truman.
Friend of somebody, I'm sure.
I reserve friend of the show for people we actually know.
Yeah.
But Dewey Defeats Truman does hang out on a lot of, like, streams and, like, game nights and stuff like that. He's a real cool dude.
Discord regular, Dewey Defeats Truman.
I don't know if he uses a Discord or not.
Well, you know what? Mailbag regular,
Dewey Defeats Truman. That's true. It's very true. Dewey writes, why does the show about dumb video game characters treat death more seriously and with more respect than the show about ghosts in the afterlife?
I don't know. Ghosts had a lot of potential, but squandered it every time.
Ghosts had a lot of potential at the beginning and squandered it, and then continued squandering it for the rest of the series.
It had potential for like 2 episodes and then nothing.
Literally 2 minutes ago, we got another email.
Really?
From friend of the show, Graham.
This is going to be dumb.
Who says, if you end up dropping Q-Ranger, would you watch another Super Sentai in its place?
I'm not sure, honestly, because we got 2 shows right now. We got X8 and Fize, and honestly, at this point with 3, I'm starting to struggle a little bit to remember what happened in all of them.
Yeah.
Because I got 3 episodes kind of in the same boat. Yeah, 3 of Fize, and then 1 of the others.
That's why I'm kind of, like, leaning towards maybe, like, cutting Q-Ranger out if it doesn't perform next episode.
Yeah. So, probably not. Maybe when we're done with Fize, and if Q-Ranger's still on, and we still hate it, we'll pick up, like, I don't know, Mega Ranger, or a show I've heard good things about. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I've heard a shit ton of good stuff about Live Man, and I've never watched it.
Oh, I want to see Live Man! Shit! I want to see Jet Man! I want to see GoBusters.
Yeah, I want to see GoBusters. Like, I always get recommended GoBusters. Everyone always recommends it to me.
Yeah.
So I'd really like to see that sometime.
Yeah.
So but that's the end of our emails.
Okay, so to answer your question, probably not until Fize is done.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you would like your email read out loud on the air, live, pre-recorded,
live man,
then send it to writerclubradio@gmail.com and proofread it before you send it.
Sure. Get all your typos out. Make it quick or else we're not even going to look at it.
If I see a typo in your fucking email, it's out.
Also, if you like Twitter, like I know I do, follow us on Twitter @writerclubradio.
No caps, no spaces, no numbers, no silly things like that.
You can find all kinds of fun things on there. You can tweet at us, and we'll answer. You can send us a message, and we'll answer your questions on the air. You can send us a private message and just get really intimate with us privately.
Yeah, you can get erotic.
You can do whatever you want, really.
There's no laws against it.
There's no laws on Twitter. It's the Wild West out there.
There are no laws against eroticism.
You can, if you want to call Jeff dumb for not liking Fies, straight to his face, get on Twitter.
Yeah, you can do that. Although, I have been very lenient on this program.
You've been really nice. I appreciate that.
I've really tried as hard as I can to enjoy it for what it is.
You can't see, but like the veins are popping out of Jeff's forehead every time he's talking about Fies. Like, I really like this one scene.
This one was alright! That's the best I could do. My teeth are fucking like filed down to nubs from being clenched.
Oh, okay. So we're done talking about shit this week.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
See you.
Peace.